Kevin, yes, it's for those who, by the way, it is recording. It is for those who cannot attend the sessions, and they will be on the website. Okay, we can start our topic for today, which is look around mode and multiple repeat functions. Does anybody know the difference between the two and when one would use one rather than the other?
Oh, come on, guys, you know this answer. This was an easy softball question by Chris.
Okay, let's see. You use look around mode perhaps when you want to familiarize yourself with an area, and you'd use the repeat commands when you're trying to pinpoint some type of information that you want to keep track of. How about that?
That's a good answer.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. I think, you know, oh, man, my phone's ringing, so I'll let someone else talk.
I think the biggest difference between look around mode and most for repeat command is look around mode is basically getting the information on what's around you, like points of interest and basically points of interest, and also for most for repeat, it's basically, to pinpoint, or let's say you want to repeat your destination every 12, 10 seconds, or every so often, you can repeat any type of information, like speed, turn, and any other information you desire.
Exactly. Look around mode is kind of like if you're driving around in the car and a sighted person, you know, is telling you what you're passing, like landmarks, or maybe they'd say, well, we're coming up to this intersection, or we're passing, you know, the Starbucks on the left or the right. Well, look around mode allows you to not have to pay attention to them anymore because you have that information. It'll repeat the or it'll it won't repeat, it'll look around the intersection, so it'll tell you when you approach an intersection, when you are within a given distance and under a given speed. The given speed is 15 miles per hour. When you are using the look around or the multiple repeat, it's basically repeating every X amount of seconds so that you can get the information. Like if, say, for example, you wanted to monitor your GPS quality, you would hit multiple repeat and then G, and it would repeat that for 12 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, depending on how long or what your interval set is in the options menu.
I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is the phrase look around is basically telling you what's around you, as if somebody sighted was looking around and giving you information, and multiple repeat basically repeating something a multiple amount of times.
Now, does anybody know how to use multiple repeat but have it only activate when you stop?
Didn't know you could do that.
Yes, you can. You can set up multiple things to repeat. So, say you want your nearest address and your GPS quality or your next intersection, those three things to repeat, but you only want it to activate when the device or when you come to a stop. And to do that, you set your multiple repeat interval in the options menu to zero. It's called stationary mode.
Got it.
And in doing that, there's also a hotkey on the device to repeat, to force the system to do a multiple repeat. You know, if you're using stationary mode and you say, oh, well, I do want it to do it, but I only want it to do it now, you know, I can hit this hotkey and that's read with S on the QT, and it is backspace dot one on the BT.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty nice feature just because you don't want the extra information when you're walking down the street and trying to pay attention to the environmental sounds and also the traffic sounds. You don't want the additional distraction of your GPS device. So it's pretty nice you can come to a stop and it'll basically tell you all the information you requested or programmed it to.
Good point, Chris, Kevin. You may want to reduce your microphone's volume a little bit. You're coming in a little distorted. And Chris, what is the command to turn off on JAWS, the the level percentages that is speaking. I know there's a way of turning off that verbosity level.
You can do that. There's two ways. One, the permanent way is to go into the configuration manager and turn off automatic progress announcements or whatever that's called. And the temporary way is to do an insert V and turn that feature off that way.
Yeah, just that we're getting these percentages, Kevin, when you speak, because what's really happening is that there's a level meter on the volume of how loud you're speaking, and what's happening is when JAWS or when WindowEyes grabs that information, it'll speak the percentage. So when you speak really loudly, it's going to say like 50% or 60%, but if you talk softly, then it goes like 8%, 10%, and that's what those percentages that you keep hearing are, which is a little distracting, but there's a way of turning that off, which kind of maybe our users would like to know that.
Okay, I think I have it off right now. Yep, I do. I don't hear the indicators anymore.
Excellent. Good deal. And your volume is getting a lot better. Thanks a lot.
Is this thing working? This is Howard. I'm doing this with Firefox for the first time, and it asks some weird stuff.
It sounds great, Howard. You sound really good. You're perfect. And hello, Carl. Good to have you on board, too.
I need a GPS that shovels snow.
I need one of those, too.
You can talk to Charles about that.
Yeah, we got 12 inches of wet cement that fell yesterday.
Yeah, I've done my fair share of shoveling snow, so I've moved to California. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I'm done with that.
So does anybody have any questions about the either look around or the multiple repeat?
Let me get this right. Look around is like when you hit X from the keyboard. Is that the command we're talking about?
No, look around mode is a mode that you can have turned on or off that kind of every X amount of seconds will tell you what's around you, like a business. If you're going down the street, for example, and you hear Starbucks on your left 100 feet, that's look around mode. That's something that triggered automatically, and it's telling you, it would be like a sighted person telling you that Starbucks was there, or that whatever landmark, or even intersections when you're going under 15 miles an hour, it will look around and tell you the intersection that you're approaching when you're under 15 miles an hour, and I believe it's 200 feet from the intersection.
Oh, okay. I must have it turned on, but I have not tried the thing on foot yet. I'm still learning enough about it. I'm waiting for the sidewalks to clear before I literally take this thing out on the street. My question is, you know, with that accuracy thing, does it tell you Starbucks on your left when you're at Starbucks or when you're within 200 feet of Starbucks? Because on foot, that's a long way from Starbucks.
It's going to depend on a few things. It's going to depend on how fast you're going. That determines how far away the look around mode will actually trigger. So if you're going 40 miles an hour and it told you were 100 feet, chances are you've passed it. So it'll tell you maybe 500 or 600 feet away. When you're walking, your distance will decrease.
Oh, so it calibrates to your speed. Okay. That sounds kind of cool. And I left my repeats at the 12-second mark. I guess, which seems to make sense.
Now, the repeats, the multiple repeat commands, are totally different than look around. Like, you could have every 12 seconds the GPS status repeating, the nearest address repeating, the next intersection, your destination, just a whole slew of things that you can actually have repeating. You could have the speed repeating if you wanted to.
Yeah, I sort of look at the multiple repeat more like, I don't want to have to touch my Braille note while I'm walking, so I'm going to set it up to give me at a certain time interval what I want spoken to me. And so you preset that up that you want your destination so that you know that you're getting closer to your destination, maybe your speed or your heading or, you know, any number of anything that you can type manually pretty much. You can have it auto-repeat or multiple-repeat every X number of seconds, and you can specify what that interval is. And the look around is sort of like something that happens automatically that has nothing to do with multiple repeat. And it's just like, it's always the system, when you turn it on, it's always looking around for the business's points of interest around you, as well as intersections if you're going, you know, under that 15-mile-an-hour limit, so i.e. pedestrian mode. One other thing is that you can specify what things you want it to be looking around for. So you can specify that you only want to hear about restaurants when it's looking around, or you can say all, so any point of interest when it comes within that threshold, the distance, it'll look around, and every 12 seconds it'll look around and you know, say that this point of interest is near you. And then you can say, well, yeah, but I don't really care about listening to everything because it's a lot of stuff in there. And you can say, well, I really only care about shops because I'm going shopping, and you know, every 12 seconds tell me about the next shop that I can go into. So you can set that up in the look around. So that's another feature of the look around mode, that you can specify what type of points of interest you're interested in, so you don't have to hear everything if you want.
That's wonderful. That would be. I would love to get that working. The guy, the salesman, said within the year they're going to have all the Milwaukee bus stops in it. And when they do, I would think that would be a great application for bus stops.
Or talking ATMs, or you know, bank machines, or whatever. You can have it just look around for those things. So there's a lot of possibilities. And then, you know, you could always override the system and search yourself for these things. So you don't have to rely on the look around to do all the work for you. If you want to know something, you can always just override it and say, well, I want to find out where the nearest Starbucks is, even though my look around is looking for bus stops, for example.
Great. Well, I need to sign. My wife just said dinner's ready, and if she cooks it, I have to eat it. You know how that goes. No, she'll quit cooking it.
Yeah, I did that just before I came in here.
Thanks, guys. That's great. You know, if she ain't happy, nobody happy.
All right, Howard. You take care, and good talking to you.
Guys. Yeah, it's funny. When I first started using the GPS package, well, I don't know, I guess it was about 3-4 years ago, it was a funny thing because I, you know, look around was on, and I swear, the only thing that it would tell me about was every fast food, junk food place within a I'd be riding along down the street, and I was like, okay, FC's on your left side, and, you know, Taco Bell and all this kind of stuff, and I didn't hear about anything else. So my friends used to rib me about that because, oh, is that all you want to know about? And I said, no, that's just what it's telling me.
That the version without maps?
No, no. That was 2.0.
Okay, because I can't remember the points of interest, but there probably were more fast food places in it back then than other things. When 3.1 came out, the points of interest, it was like eyes were opened. It was unbelievable, the points of interest that you were seeing, the businesses, the shops, and it was cool.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Version 2 was the first time we did points of interest, and there was it was heavily loaded in fast food places. I completely forgot about that. It's amazing how much you forget after, you know, your X number of releases later. It's like, well, what was in that release? Oh, man, that's pretty cool that you've been here that long. Good for you, man. So, Tom, since you've been around this long, what is your wish list? What would you like to see in the next version of this GPS thing?
Good question. I guess, you know, since we're on the subject of points of interest and that kind of thing, I think subcategories. For example, well, like, you know, restaurants, for example, saying, okay, well, I want to find out where all the Chinese joints are, or I don't particularly care about shops, but I'm looking for, I do care about shops, but maybe I'm looking for music shops or bookstores or this, you know, those kinds of things that, you know, I don't know if you can categorize to that degree, but, you know, just to give you some examples.
Very cool. Yeah, that's a good idea. Chris, we should put that in the in our track. I'm sure it's there already. People have been sort of wanting that for years now, the ability to do subcategories. That's a great idea. And actually, we might even have have something for you guys, CSUN, to participate in. More about that to come once we get a little bit better idea of what's going on there. But good idea, good idea. Excellent.
Yeah, I'll look, and if it's not in there, I will add it into the wish list.
Also, another thing is, and we may have actually talked about that last summer briefly, but it might be kind of cool is if you're in an area where you have hotspots, say, and in addition to, you know, your map loaded on a card, you got a wireless card active or whatever, and you've got internet access. If you're doing a POI lookup, if there was information about, you know, websites, does this establishment have a web address that's associated with it? You know, maybe you might want to take a look at it, you know, while you're going and on your way to that place or whatever. Particularly, you know, with regard to restaurants and stuff like that, that might be handy if you're looking for online menus and that kind of thing.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, Chris, take a look and see if that website thing is also included in our database, because that's definitely something that a lot of people have been talking about that would be good to have moving forward.
Okay, I'll add it to my list.
Anything else, Tom? You're on a roll, buddy.
I think that's it for now. If I think of something, I'll chime in.
Okay, Eileen, you were really quiet there. You were all excited at the beginning, and I haven't heard that you've heard of something new yet. So we need you to come up with something next.
Ah, you're putting me on the spot. I really like what you said last week about just having the waypoints in front and not stuff that is behind. So I just affirm that would be really good.
Oh, okay, for points of interest, you mean, right?
I'm sorry, yes, points of interest.
Regardless how fast you're going.
Right, that does make a lot of sense. And also, to sort of go one step further, maybe points of interest as on this street or maybe on a specific side of the street. So you only want to know, you know, points of interest that are on the right-hand side of the street because that's the side of the sidewalk that you're going down. So, yeah, all good things. And if it's not in our track database, I'm sure it will be.
Well, while we're talking wish list and stuff, one thing that has always bothered me is that if I plug in a street address, I'm doing an address lookup, I don't know or care a lot of times what zip code it's in. So I don't want to know if the address is that I'm looking for is in 91405 or 91406 or wherever the hell it is. I want to find the street and I don't, or, you know, the address, and I don't want to have to guess as to which zip code it might be in.
Right. So have the ability to enter in an address first and then match the street. So have the system look it up that address in those three zip codes, and if your address doesn't match any of those three zip codes, then give you the option of, you know, no match found and which you know zip code at that point. But if there is a match, then just bring you right there. Is that's pretty much what you would want?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I can't tell. Yeah, you know, I really have wasted a lot of time, needlessly, you know, looking in certain zip codes just to try, you know, to find an address. And if it would do that, sort of that legwork for me, that would, you know, that could potentially save me a lot of time.
Very cool. Excellent. Chris, do you want to make sure that that's high on our list there, and we'll see about adding that to our discussion there this week at Sendero. So I think that's a really good point.
Consider it done.
Wow, 3 for 3, Tom. I'm impressed, buddy. I have to get you maybe on our beta team to find out more really good ideas.
Well, I got another one for you. You ready? How's about, you know, right now when it gives you a route, it gives you that route, and that's the only route you get. I don't know whether that's based on the quickest elapsed time or, you know, what it thinks is, you know, I don't know what criterion it uses to come up with that. But I've noticed that Some of the GPS units that, as I use paratransit, some of the drivers are using, they have the ability to select the quickest route versus, you know, some other kind of route. And I'm wondering if that might be doable in something like this.
Absolutely. And actually, that's been on our wish list forever. And, you know, we'll have to see if we can get it in this version, but I agree. Right now, you only have the option of pedestrian versus vehicle. And I'll just let you know what's going on here. For vehicle, it's using the fastest time. So basically, the shortest amount of time to get you to your destination is what it's going to calculate. And that's based on the highway speeds or all the street speeds of the given roads. So it's basically the fastest time. For pedestrian, it's the shortest distance without going on freeways and not taking into account one-ways. So pedestrians, it's the shortest distance. Vehicle, it's the fastest route. But I agree. We want to be able to have, for vehicle, a lot more selections. So maybe not just the fastest, but maybe the shortest. So, you know, you always drive at a constant speed. You don't really want to go onto freeways. You know, that's not a big deal. Or avoid freeways. Maybe that's an option. For pedestrians, maybe the fewest number of turns. We've thought of a lot of different options that we're thinking about, and I definitely want to explore some of these. And if it goes into our budget and priority-wise, we'll see about putting those also into the next version. But excellent ideas.
Hello. I just received a new PK, and I am having trouble pairing it with my GPS.
You came to the perfect place then.
That seems to be the issue.
Yes, I just got a replacement because my old Braille note, or my Braille note that I received first, was already configured, but it wouldn't detect the flashcard. So I got a new Braille note, and now I cannot access the menu that says the connectivity, or the GPS menu, rather. How can I set that up?
Do you mean the main Braille note options menu or the GPS options menu?
I mean the GPS options menu. The new Braille note that I just received does not have it where it says the navigation menu for the GPS. It just has a planner, internet, media, email, but it does not have nothing that pertains to the GPS.
Did you try reinstalling the GPS software?
What software are we referring to?
It sounds like the GPS software wasn't installed in your unit, or if it was, it might have got removed.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. So if you have the CD and can extract the executable from that, put that on a card, you might just want to go to utilities and application, or you know, run application program and install that guy.
Yeah, I'm just going to sort of jump in one time. And if you had GPS for a previous machine, you have to have a license for that serial number. And you may not have a license for that Braille note itself, so you'll have to double-check on whoever you purchased or received it through.
Very true. Carl, you may want to reduce your volume on your mic. You're overpowering.
This is a replacement Braille note. I bought it from Sendero Group, and they were the ones that called Humanware and arranged it to have it shipped to me as a new unit because the previous unit that they configured became defective. It's a brand new Braille note. I've had it for about maybe not even less than a week.
I would recommend to give us a call on Monday and we'll assure that the product was installed. If not, we'll make sure you get the new install. And we'll have to double check on it on Monday.
So at this point, there's nothing I could do?
Yeah, I don't think so. Unless it's the same serial number as your old version, it sounds like someone forgot to swap your GPS software from your old machine to your new machine. And therefore, if it's a, you know, if it's a different serial number, then we have to actually contact Humanware to actually get a serialized version for that new machine. So there's nothing that, you know, that we can do if the serial numbers change. If it's the same serial number, then yeah, you can just reinstall the software with the card and running the installation program again. But if it's a different serial number, you'll need to contact Sendero tomorrow and talk to Sheila, and she'll get you all set up.
And what software are we referring to? Because, like I said, everything was pre-installed for me, so I wouldn't know where I need to find this particular software.
The software will ship on the... If it ships from Sendero, we normally install the software and test it, that it's been installed on it when we ship a new unit with our software. But also it is shipped on the CD that comes with the device. So you should have received a CD and two DVDs. The DVDs are the maps. The CD should contain all of our other software. So if it was your, you should have received that package. And if you could give me your serial number, I can be tracking it down.
Serial number 1 0, hang on.
Have is destination. But then I just want to check on my GPS accuracy. I do that, and then after that, that number, and I'm using Braille, not speech, that number stays in the Braille system. Is there some way that I can get rid of that?
Well, it'll stay there on the Braille display until some other event occurs. It's not a live, up-to-date thing. That all that is a one-time shot, but then the Braille display doesn't refresh until something else happens. So if you have it multiple repeating your GPS status every 12 seconds, then you will get an up-to-date GPS status. But, yeah, the only way to get rid of that would be to query or do something else or some other automatic event occurs. To remove that information from your Braille display, I would assume.
Well, what happens is, I'm trying to think. Let's say I'm doing points of interest for my multiple repeat, and then I check the number of satellites. And that's right. It doesn't change, of course. It leaves up on my Braille display the number that showed. But then when the... point of interest repeat comes on, if it's a long thing, that number of satellites, for example, blocks out so that I don't get all, on my Braille display, all of the information about the point of interest. I think maybe you understand what I was saying.
Okay. Yeah, there could be some issues there with what's on the Braille display and then what's being spoken on a multiple repeat or a look around event. So we'll pay some attention to that moving forward. Thanks for letting us know.
We're losing you.
Yeah, you were fading in and out.
I hate when that happens. Sorry about that, guys. I just have my daughter here that keeps bugging me, and my microphone changes, and she's asking for candy when she shouldn't be. No, it's no candy. Say hi. Oh, yeah. Sorry. What I was saying is thanks for pointing that out as far as the information not being displayed on the Braille display, which put it in sync with what's spoken. We'll try to pay more closer attention to that moving forward.
Great. So now I'm going to ask you about something else, and this could be my fault. I'm in virtual mode, and I set my virtual position to say my home, and then I look for a destination. I follow my route virtually, turn off my Braille note. Then when I go back to virtual mode subsequently, what comes up as my virtual position is the point that I had set as my destination. Is there any way that before I turn off my unit, how can I, what should I do so that my virtual position when I turn it back on is going to be what I originally set as my virtual position.
Eileen, that is actually the way it's supposed to work. When you follow your route and you arrive at the destination, your virtual position gets updated as you travel throughout that route. So once you hit that destination point, your virtual position is that destination point.
Okay, so how do I... So then I should reset my make my destination, what my original virtual point was, so that when I turn it back on, that's where I'll be again?
You can do it that way, or if you save the route, I've done this, where if you save the route, you can just reopen it in virtual, and waypoint one, which is the starting point, becomes your virtual position, so that would, in a sense, do what you want it to do.
Great, but there's no way... There's no way, like, once I followed that route virtually, that I can quickly, with, like, one stroke, get back to my original virtual position so that, again, I would have it there to begin with.
That's a good point. I wonder if, I don't remember how this works, and if it doesn't work this way, it should, and maybe we'll track it, but there's the undo, the one level of undo to back up. If you go through the route, you get to your destination, your virtual position is now at your destination. If you close the route at this point and then go undo, theoretically, it should move your virtual position back to wherever it was before you started the route. So that, if that doesn't work, that's the way it should work, and we will fix it if that's the case.
Actually, you can do an R and then an R for root commands and then reverse, and it will flip the two virtual positions around for you.
Also, with regard to the Braille display issue, have you played around with the display time on the under GPS options? Have you adjusted that at all? Tried plugging in different values?
I don't recall. Usually I have it set at 12 seconds, but I don't, I think I have played around with it, but I will do that the next time.
No, the 12 seconds is something different, Eileen. There's also a Braille display number of seconds that you may want to tweak as well under GPS options, and that is a setting that if things are going too quickly in multiple repeat, this is a way of slowing it down on the Braille display.
Whoops. I don't know how that's set, but I will check it.
I think the default might be set at 1 second if you didn't mess with that setting yet.
Not sure. By the way, Kevin, I want to thank you on the list for talking about how you could download some of the maps using the Bookshare. That is a great thing. I'm going to have to play with that. I really appreciated that information.
Yeah, anytime. And I'm not sure if it works with maps, but it does work with points of interest, and again, not all zip files will be unzipped using a book reader, but never hurts to try.
Yeah, actually, it's funny you said that because I wrote that utility. Hi, say hi, Julia.
Hi.
Okay, say bye.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Goodbye.
So anyway, I was saying that, I wrote that utility for Bookshare Unpack Utility, and I knew that it would do zip files, but because we don't want to have to support and test it for zip files, Benetech has never said that, that's a feature of that utility. But it will open certain zip files, as you guys have found out.
Okay, will it do RARs?
It should. The only thing is that we're talking multiple megabytes of data, and I don't know if it's probably better to actually unzip it on a PC first, just for speed-wise. But it probably would work.
So I could plug in a RAR file, or just rename a RAR file with a BKS extension, and it would take it.
Does the RAR file? And I know it does zip files. I don't know about that.
Yes, you can always try it, Tom, and see if it works. And if it works, then great. If it doesn't, then it doesn't.
Wait a minute. What is this about using Bookshare Unpack with points of interest? I, I've got to learn this. What happens here? How do you do this? And what's up?
I guess basically what we're talking about is, let's say you're downloading the collective point of interest from the Sendero website. It comes out every month. It's in a zip file, so you can either use a computer to unzip it, or you can use your Braille note to unzip it. But the trick with the Braille note is you have to rename the .zip to a .bks, and then you use the book reader utility in the Braille note, and then unzip it using that. But for the password field, you leave it blank and hit enter, and you're basically unzipping a zip file on your Braille note, but it doesn't work for all files, though.
Okay. I guess if you don't have a computer, it would work, but it seems if you have a computer, it would be a lot easier to unzip it, put it on the compact flash card, and plug it into the Braille note that way, I would think, but maybe there's an advantage, I don't know.
No, you're absolutely correct. So it probably is, but if in a pinch, you know, that's an option. And I think even some of our alpha testers and beta testers tried to actually download on the Braille note from our website files and do exactly what you're saying, rename them and unzip them and use them that way. And people said that they got it to work. It's a little bit more involved and a lot slower, but it's possible. And in a pinch, it might just work.
And I would agree. It takes a lot longer and it's a lot slower, but I guess if someone only has the option of using their Braille note to download points of interest or download zip files, then they can unzip them. But I personally use my computer, so.
Yeah, but I suppose if you're on the road and if you're connected to the internet, and, you know, why do we do lots of the things we do? Because we can. There's no other good reason for it.
Exactly. I don't know why, but all of a sudden my keyboard is locked, and I have to figure out how to unlock myself. My daughter must have pressed some keys on me. Oh, here we go.
Well, it's better to be unlocked in the transmit position if you're going to be locked. Now, somebody was this week was talking about starting the GPS with S, V, or G. Now, S is your satellite mode. V is your virtual mode. What was this G? I couldn't. Does that work anymore? I seem like a few things have changed over time.
Actually, what that means is when you go into the GPS menu, you have those options, Start GPS, Edit User POI, and the other ones that escape me at this point. But there are some hidden commands in there when you hit that first menu. S is for Start GPS, N is also for Start GPS, and a G is also for Start GPS, because prior to version 7, the menu option off of the main menu was GPS, so you could actually do a GG real quick and get into GPS. Now, because they changed it from a G to an N, you can use NN to quickly get into GPS instead of NS or GS. So that's why they're kind of like hidden commands, but they're there.
I think the person that mentioned this was me, I think, but I'm not sure. And Chris, we're up to version 7 on the GPS now?
No, 7 of the Keysoft.
Oh, that's right. I thought you were talking about the GPS. I was thinking, I guess you're ahead of everyone.
Yeah, 4, 5, and 6 are gone. You must have fell asleep for those.
I guess so.
Yeah, I'm fast, but I'm not that fast. Jeez.
I know this one is really stupid, but it kind of connected with what we were talking about with the look-around mode. What's the command, you know, the command I have in my head is, where the hell am I?
Because if you're wanting like the intersection or the nearest address, you can hit M for multiple repeat, and then A for address, or X for intersection, or even C for city. But it just depends on what type of information you're looking for.
The biggest one, if you're wanting where am I, hit chord C, space C, or control C on the different flavors there, and that'll give you pretty much everything you want to know except maybe the intersection. But it'll give you address, street, the address ranges on your left and right, which city, county, state, zip code, all of the where am I stuff that you want to know is in that command.
It sounds like you're fitting in and out again, Charles.
It's a child back on your lap. You transmit real good then. Yeah, I'd kind of like to go, okay, you're facing south, you're on the intersection of 43rd and Washington, and you know, within 300 feet of you are the following points of interest. There's not a way to do that like that, though, is there?
You can manually do each one, but you can't have like a you can set multiple repeats, but it won't give you all the information. It'll give you all the information at once, but you have to program it one by one.
Okay, as long as I know how it works.
Yeah, but that's a good idea. We sort of have an idea of a where am I, but not to that level, and that's a good point. And now that we have a recorder, we may be able to come up with something like that. Good idea.
I guess one way around it is you can set a bunch of multiple repeats. You can set M and C for city, then M and X for intersection, and M and P for points of interest, and have it repeat whichever multiple repeat commands.
You could also use the stationary mode hotkey, which is backspace dot one or read with S, and that'll give you your multiples, so that'll kind of give you what you want as well.
Did I understand correctly that the space bar or the control X doesn't give you what you need?
I wasn't sure exactly how to do it, so I'm just trying to envision what I want, and I don't think the SpaceX is quite enough, but that's what I envisioned was, you know, you're facing south, these are the intersections you're on, and within 100 feet of you, there are, you know, this and this and this restaurant, the bus stop is here, and the bus stop is here. It would kind of be like a, you know, where am I in space command.
Yeah, the only problem with that is there could be 100 points of interest around you. So what, you know, what do we tell you is near you? It depends on what you're interested in, and that's sort of what the look around is, that you can set up to multiple repeat, you know, what you're interested in. But for us to come up and say, you know, there's these these points of interest and that point of interest, it's kind of hard for us to try to figure out, you know, what you're interested in when there's hundreds, if not thousands, around you. So that's my only concern with this idea. Carl's right. We do have the Chord X gives you your heading as well as what street you're on and what's the next intersection and describes that intersection to you. You know, so it's a matter of trying to figure out what else you want to be spoken for a command like this.
Oh, Charles, this is something I noticed when making a route, especially on a freeway. For some reason, let's say you're on Highway 99, or how the GPS calls this, California 99. I noticed for some reason instead of saying 99, it'll say two slashes. And I've noticed this with like Highway 4, it'll say like Highway 4, it'll say Highway /// WB. And I'm just trying to figure out where the double slash is coming in, because on the browser display, it shows the correct name for the highway, but it's reading a double slash somewhere in there.
Yeah, sorry, guys. In the data itself, it actually has the double slashes, and in the current version of our software, we don't remove that completely, and we are planning on fixing that in upcoming versions.
Okay, I was just wondering where the double slash came in, because it really didn't show up in Braille, so.
Yeah, and on that note, my daughter is screaming at me, so I need to take off. So anyway, guys, thanks. It's been a lot of fun, and see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Thank you.
Take care, Charlie.
So long.
And Kevin, on your last comment, is your street name set to long or short? I'm just curious about that.
It's set to long.
Give it a try in setting it to short, and that may resolve your problem. It may not. I know there's still issues in there, but it may fix it.
Okay, I'll give that a shot next time I'm out on the roads.
I think my problem with interstates is that it gives me, a name like Governor John Davis Lodge Highway. And nobody calls it that around here. It's going to be called Route something or other. And I don't think, even if I have it on long, that it gives me the route number. So it can be very confusing to, well, usually to me, but also sometimes to the driver.
And I noticed this too, and this is the main reason I did switch to long names, because here in Stockton, it calls it highway or westbound highway or freeway westbound. And if you're actually thinking about interstate or highway, it's actually called I-5. So if you switch it to the long street names, it'll give you westbound freeway and also I-5. So it'll give you both names so you can also know the mapping name and also more of the local name.
I'm not sure that always happens with mine, but I'm going to have to double check that.
Some of these problems, I'd say the majority of the problems, are a result of what's in the map itself. So if you are having difficulty, and Kevin, we thank you for letting us know about this, and we will go ahead and investigate it and attempt to work with the map vendors to resolve it. So a lot of it we can't correct totally, but we understand that there needs to be some improvement also from the map vendors.
As long as everybody's so quiet, has any thought been given to what the next WayFun adventure is going to be?
I think I talked to Mike, and he's thinking about Vancouver or Alaska.
Well, I can probably talk a little bit about it. Vancouver is being considered. I know in a September time frame that nothing has been finalized at the time yet.
Thanks, that's interesting.
Yes, if we are planning on 10 WayFun, we'll need passports.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
But since the new law went in that if you're planning on to Canada or Mexico, you need a passport.
That's right.
Yeah, and they want the world when you go get a passport.
And I'll tell you, they take a while because I'm still waiting for my passport. I got it a little over a month ago, and I'm still waiting for it.
Yeah, same here. And the funny part about it is they make you pay X amount of dollars with a cashier's check or a money order or a debit card. You can't use your credit card. It's a debit card, and then the rest, you know, you pay them however you want to pay them. But it's just, wow.
Yeah, and if you